You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, Master of Ceremonial Garmentry. Thank you, Vespa Perkins.
Feels like 800 years since we last recorded a podcast, and I know it was only last week. It's been a long week with a lot of revelations. Gordy, what do we do on this show?
Carmen is going to read to me and Tyler a weird fairy tale or piece of folklore. She has chosen one for us that Tyler and I have never heard before.
It has been submitted by one of you.
By one of you, but we hope some of the rest of you haven't heard it as well, so it'll be new for you as well. And as we go, we're gonna treat this like we would a modern piece of literature. We're gonna talk about all the plot holes, see what we can do to fix the plot, and see what the story looks like at the end.
It's like an audiobook and a book club at the same time.
Both crime together in a horrible Frankensteinian fusion. All right, I figure it's time to treat ourselves a little bit. We've made it this far in the new year. We can throw out all of our resolutions.
We're 8 days in as of the time of this recording. Yeah, sure.
We can just gorge ourselves on some good Romanian folklore.
This sounds like a trap.
It is.
It's always a trap, you two.
It is a trap.
We love Eastern Europe. It treats us so well. So today, on the suggestion of Anne Kristen, we are going to be reading Youth Without Age and Life Without Death.
Okay.
This is sourced from worldoftales.com, and this comes from Anne Kristen's grandfather's home country, which is Romania. In case you forgot that from
Romania. Looks nice over there.
They got some nice folklore.
We have an executive producer this week. The episode is being brought to you by Pyrus, dubbed Arn Thompson type 330B, The Devil in the Sack.
Thank you, Pyrus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pyrus.
All right. We haven't done this segment in a little while. Do you folks have any predictions about what's going to happen in this story at all? And more specifically,
any kind of like buoyancy predictions?
Yeah. Like a vessel that can sit upon water.
Yeah, sky.
We missed one in the last story.
Yeah,
it had a boat in it.
You've been lax on your boat washes.
It did.
It had two boats. I was very upset at both of them.
Yeah, so that was a missed boat watch opportunity. Tell me the title again.
Youth Without Age and Life Without Death.
Oh, that's so general. Romania is not known for boat stuff, is it? It's not really. Is it landlocked?
I don't know geography.
Romania might be landlocked, but that doesn't mean there's not like lakes and rivers and stuff.
While he's looking up the land to water ratio of Romania.
Not quite landlocked. Little bit on the Black Sea.
Mm. Do you have any predictions about where the story's going?
Where the story is going.
Yeah, just like throw a dart at the wall.
So our other prediction that we have, or I guess it's not really a prediction, something else that we need to cover is Big Rock.
Big Rock.
Like whether or not the problems in the story could be solved with a very large rock.
But I feel like that should come at the end, right?
Yeah.
We can do that. First thing in the discussion, let's see if it can be solved with a big rock.
We'll bookend these segments now with Boat Watch and Big Rock.
Oh boy, what are the odds of getting two boats in a row? Mm.
I noted the story I noted last week's story, because it is a little bit of a long one, which is why I'm trying to like feed you guys through.
You gotta imagine those Vegas odds.
I'm gonna say no.
No boat?
There's no boat in this one.
All no right. boat.
Tyler, would you like to predict a crime?
Predict a crime?
Yeah, why not? Gordy gets a boat watch. Feel like you should get something special.
Somebody's going to eat something they shouldn't.
All right, no boat, wrong food. Let's go. Youth Without Age and Life Without Death. Once upon a time, something happened that had never happened before.
Great.
And if it had not happened, it wouldn't be told.
This is a good point.
Since the flea had 1 foot shod with 99 pounds of iron and jumped into the skies to get us fairy tales.
Is that who we have to blame?
You gotta slow down.
Is that who we blame? Is the flea with 99 pounds of steel?
Iron.
iron. It's the same thing, right?
I mean,
big metals.
One's very anti-fairy.
Please repeat that to me.
I mean, this is a, you could solve this one with a big rock and crush the flea. so it would stop bringing stories down. Let me tell it we have enough, thank you.
It had iron on his leg, or it only has one leg?
Since the flea had 1 foot shod with 99 pounds of iron and jumped into the skies to get us fairy tales.
The iron to kill the fairies and take their tails?
Yes, that is protection. Puts a little anti-fairy bubble around him so he could go into their like book of secrets.
Okay.
So that's how we're going to start this one, because I fucking love the Eastern Europe, and they're like, intros and outros that the storyteller does to get your attention, and then mic drop at the end.
And that's, I mean, it.
Boy, they have a track record.
They do. All right, so once there was a mighty emperor and an empress who were young and handsome and wanted kids.
So they fucked.
fucked to no avail. No, instead of banging, they went to witches and philosophers.
What?
Like, rather than the old-fashioned downstairs kiss method of making a kid, they went to witches. And then
They didn't even try the normal one?
And to they might have. The story is not clear, so that one's up to us. I'm going to go with no. Went to the witches and the philosophers to ask them to read the stars to see if they'd have children. But all of it was in vain, because they don't run a Planned Parenthood. That's not what witches and philosophers are for.
I mean, witches maybe.
Witches sometimes.
Philosophers have stuff going on. They don't need your biz.
They have their own things they're working on. Are philosophers, like, it's not really a pay-by-the-hour, appointment-style profession, is it?
No, it's not like a therapist. What they needed to do was go to that astronomer, but he was on the honeymoon with the clockmaker.
And philosophers are miners, right? They love rocks.
What?
Precious gems.
Stones?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
At least one philosopher has loved a stone very much. All right, so the emperor then heard about a very wise old man living in a neighboring village, conveniently.
What does an old man have to do with a baby? That's the opposite.
Maybe opposites attract. You use an old man to bring a baby to you.
You don't.
Like a magnet.
It's a stork.
Or an old man wearing feathers.
Ugh.
So you go, I'm going to present a hypothetical to you both.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're almost done with the story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Almost.
So we got time to kill. You find an old man. You collect him because he's not doing anything else. He's just doing old man things, like in little fart noises and muttering to himself.
Yep.
In a village.
Yeah, old man things. You're right.
You collect him, put him down in the road in front of, like, the woods or something, crawls towards him.
Uh-huh.
Baby?
Is it yours or is it the man's? Away?
It's just a baby. It was attracted by the old man.
I guess you inspect the baby for quality and make your decision based on that.
I am giving you a binary choice from a video game. Keep the baby, send the baby away.
I am personally in send baby away camp. I do not feel like being responsible for a baby.
Where
right
does
now.
It go?
Away.
Where? Where
did it come from?
It's important to know where it's going to go.
It's a cotton-eyed baby.
All right. So the emperor sends for the wise man, but the wise man sends back a message saying, hey, you know where I'm at. If you need me, you come to me. I'm old. I'm rickety. You're a spry young emperor who doesn't know how to use his dingle. Like, you come to me. So they go to his house, and they bring along several courtiers, attendants, and soldiers, because they have to bring a bit of royalty playpen with them, or they'll get lost. Caveat.
This seems sensible.
The old man sees them coming, because they have a fucking army. And he rises and goes out to meet them, saying, welcome, but what do you want to know, O emperor? Your wish is going to bring you sorrow and sleepless nights and so much poop. You're not a wizard. You can't get rid of it. The emperor said, I'm not here to question you about sorrow. Just tell me, like, get some plants or something and we'll put baby in my wife. I don't know how this works. Just get us a nice flower and knock my wife up.
Do I need to put fungus under my bed?
What waters do I need to pour where?
just make it easy for me.
What water goes where?
Like, give me an IKEA booklet about the waters.
The wise man says, of course I have pregnancy plants, but you will only have one child. They wreak havoc on the whole system. You get one out of it. He'll be handsome and lovable, and you won't be able to keep him long.
Cause of dying?
Mystery reasons.
Because of flying?
Like most royalty, the emperor hears only what he wants to and ignores the whole, like, sorrow won't keep him long, all of the portents, and it's just very joyful to hear, we'll have son, we'll be good boy.
Just play it will work.
I will get what I want in big neon letters.
So they joyfully return to the palace with the herbs, which they apply in whatever fashion he prescribed.
Directly to the forehead.
I don't know if he's just like... Just kind of rub this on your faces and then put your dingle in.
Forehead.
This is an Athena-style birth.
All right, so this, of course, worked. She got pregnant. Everyone rejoiced. But when the hour of birth came, the child began to scream in a way that no magical arts could silence.
Powerful lungs.
Yeah, so it means it's healthy.
What about a good old-fashioned tongue cutting?
Oh, right.
Don't need magic.
The tongue doesn't make the noises. It just turns the noises into intelligible sounds.
But it does disincentivize them.
And you don't have kids of your own, Tyler?
None with tongues.
All right, so the sorrow has begun, and the emperor is trying to get the child to shut its ding-dang baby mouth. Mm-hmm. By promising it all the good things the world contained. But it's impossible to quiet it because it's a fucking baby and it doesn't understand your damn words. Adult man who doesn't know how any of this works.
It has powerful needs.
So the baby is screaming and the emperor is going, "Hush, father's pet, I will give you this or that kingdom. Hush, my son, I will give you this or that princess for your wife. She will be 16 years older than you by the time you're old enough to care." And promises war and woman abduction, and those don't work. And he says, "Well, hush, my boy, I'll give you youth without age and life without death." This does effectively silence this baby, who now understands human speech and promises and all of the social trappings that come with them.
I'm whistling. Go on, father. Tell me more.
I don't care about kingdoms.
It had developed.
I am too young to give a shit about women.
Oh, whoa.
This is either a child or it's Pontius Pilate from The Life of Brian.
What's the difference?
Does this baby have a friend named Biggest Dickus? It's a good movie. Go watch it.
So the prince stops crying. The courtiers beat their drums and blow their trumpets to effectively fill the void left by the noise of the baby.
They were so used to the white noise.
And there was great rejoicing throughout the empire for a whole week. So this kid had nightmare lungs.
Yeah, wow.
So the older the boy grew, the more thoughtful and unscreaming he became.
I mean, that's the payoff, right?
Yeah, you like that you get through the first few years.
That you get like a good boy out of it who can memorize binary for you. You can store your passwords in his brain.
That's the payoff, Courtney.
That's what they're for.
Because like you could get like 12 and I'll have them memorize binary fragments and that's pretty secure. Like it's real hard to hack 12 kids' brains at once.
So the boy went to schools and to philosophers and gained every kind of learning possible, except that provided by witches. They did gloss over that one.
They did spurn the witches.
So the emperor died of joy and then came to life again.
Did he want to?
What?
Did he want
Hold
to
on.
Do that?
Back up one sentence.
Is that level one?
The older the boy grew, the more thoughtful he became. He went to schools and philosophers and gained every kind of learning so that the emperor died of joy and came to life again.
Is this like an anime pratfall?
How many extra mans does he have?
But into a pratfall into death?
Yes.
What's his high score?
59,420.
Takes a lot of effort. Gotta deliberately avoid points in some places.
The whole realm was proud of their wise prince, but one day the prince turned 15 and they were all at dinner, probably a birthday banquet because these two things were connected. Same sentence. When he rose and he said, "Hey, Dad, give me what you promised me at my birth. I shut up for 15 whole years. Pay up."
Has he not spoken since?
He's been quiet.
What is, like, the main thrust of the plot?
Baby scream, Dad promise impossible thing.
But why?
Get, like, baby to stop scream.
Like, what? Well, I guess just why is my question. Like, what is this story about? Is it just this king getting a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they all about?
He wanted a kid. He didn't know what that came with. So he made impossible promises when it turns out babies are not tractable.
Okay.
And hold grudges.
Babies hold some grudges. Yes.
So the emperor heard this demand and grew very sorrowful. He said, "Son, you were an infant baby."
I was a fibster.
But you are not supposed to form memories until you were 3.
Doctors said so.
I did just say that to hush your loud baby mouth. Cannot actually do that. I would have thought with all of your learning that maybe you would have come to terms with that reality at some point.
And so the screaming began anew.
The 15-year-old boy says, "Well, Dad, you can't keep your promise. I will have to wander the world to find what was promised to me and for which I was born. I was born only to get this thing."
Don't.
Which is not dying.
Suck it, Dad. And this is where the teenage rebellion begins. So all the nobles and his dad fell at his feet, begging him not to leave, because as the courtiers politely pointed out, his dad's hella old, so we're thinking, like, any minute now you're gonna have to inherit this throne. And we'll give you the most beautiful princess under the sun for a wife. Like, we'll nab her from wherever we can.
We have rope. It ain't a thing.
Pin you down with that. Like, don't even think about it.
Don't worry, man. We got ropes and treaties.
The tools of a kingdom.
They're in the same lockbox next to each other.
But it was impossible to shake his resolution. So his dad gives his consent, because what else is he going to do? And supplies him with provisions for his journey. So the prince goes to the imperial stables, which had the finest steeds in the world, but when he laid a hand on one horse's tail, he knocked it down, and so they all fell one after the other like horse dominoes.
Did they really?
Yes.
Does it say that in the thing?
It doesn't say like horse dominoes, but it does say that they fell one after the other, and I added the other part for visual imagery.
Like, it is like dominoes, yeah.
Am I playing Red Dead Redemption right now in my brain?
Yep.
What are you doing here?
This would be a good scene for that, huh?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I did it.
You ran them into trains. I don't think you dominoes them.
I've hit multiple horses.
It's a good goal, though. Start that game back up. See what you can do.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. I might collect a couple horses and line them up in the street and then run them down with one big wagon.
Seems like a good use of your time. Ignore the game story till it fails your mission because you dominoed horses instead of doing what it wanted you to.
Mission failed. Horse was sad. Domino horse got dirty. Go fuck yourself, Arthur Morgan.
Your weird scruples.
Since there is precedent for a mission in that game where you have to watch the emotional stability of one character, then yeah, sure. All right, so he dominoes a stable full of horses, and as he left that stable, I presume, backing away slowly and not taking any responsibility for the horse mess he just made, because he just, like, knocks a bunch of horses down. It's like, well.
Then he whistles his way out of the room.
Time to go.
Do-do-do.
He notices one horse is still standing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a sick, weak horse covered in sores in a corner. Too icky to be near enough to the other horses to domino.
It's still a horse.
How many eyes does it have?
It goes up to
no
it.
No reason.
He grabs the horse by the tail, like you do when you meet a new horse. Like anyone who's ever been around horses will tell you is safe and wise to do.
It's a horse shake.
And the animal turns its head to him instead of kicking him through a wall and says, "What do you command, my master?" "God, he's permitted a hero's hand to touch me once more. Back from retirement."
One last job for Sore's horse.
We've met Sore's horse before, right?
Have we?
I think we have. I have noted a story with Sore's horse in it.
Maybe. It's not ringing a bell to me right now.
I don't know if we got to it or listener suggestions drowned us. But I have definitely noted a Sora's horse story. All right, so the prince told the horse what his whole deal was, and the horse says, "To obtain your wish, go ask your father for the sword, lance, bow, quiver of arrows, and garments he wore when he was a youth."
It's a lot.
"Also, you have to take care of me with your own hands for 6 weeks and give me oats boiled in milk.
Go and collect the green tunic of the hero."
But also, like, I'm going to see what I can get out of this deal.
Yeah, Zelda, but if Epona was really demanding.
I'm going to need some...
And covered in sores.
Some very fine oats. In your best milk. It's the only way you'll succeed at this.
Is it like spinach? Is this horse going to get beefed?
Yeah, this is the Popeye of horses.
Like turned in beef?
No, like turned up.
Oh.
Like a Popeye.
What if it's turned into horse sausage instead?
Well, that's the risk that you take when you feed a horse fine oats and milk.
Yeah.
Just hope you have enough bacon for it.
This is
going to
go one of two ways.
All right, so the prince begged his dad for these things. His dad didn't give a shit, just called his major domo and ordered him to open every chest of clothing in the palace because he doesn't know.
He's like, I don't know, it's in one of these.
Find it.
It takes the prince 3 days to find them. They're all covered in rust, so he cleans the weapons with his own hands and also cares for the horse. Once his clothes and arms were cleaned and ready, presumably took 6 weeks, the horse shook itself, all of the sores fell off, like they do, and suddenly he was a strong horse with 4 wings.
Pegasus.
Under the sores?
Yeah, they were hiding. It was a lot of sores. It was a very dense collection of sores.
Just scabs on scabs on scabs.
Just remember that the horse has 4 wings, because that is not relevant at all, and I just want to make sure that you have in your visual picture of this story this horse running around with just 4 wings flapping around uselessly.
Can do.
I usually do.
So when the hero sees this happen, he says,
"Bitchin'."
Gordy, dialogue?
For the horse?
No, for the hero. He has just watched his horse shake off sores and grow 4 wings. What does he say?
"Gross. What do I do with all this big mountain of sores you shook off?"
Okay, 2 options. Neither correct. We'll go in 3 days.
"Meet back here."
That is his only response to Magic Wing Horse.
"Servant, grab a shovel and clear all the gross, scabby sores out of here."
So the horse wishes him a long life and promises to be at his service for the length of it. On the morning,
he goes home and screams in a pillow for 3 days.
Yeah,
just get over the sight of what he just saw.
Basically, it does not say what he does for 3 days, but on the morning of the third day,
just working up the nerve to get on this horse.
The whole court was in mourning while the prince takes leave of the emperor. Everyone implored him to give up the journey. No one notices or cares about the 4 wings on this horse. But he sets spurs to his steed again, rude, and dashes through the gate like the wind, followed by the carts loaded with provisions and money and the 200 horsemen his dad had commanded to come with him.
Quite the adventure. Are they going to fit in a boat is my question.
Is the horse going to fly, or is it just going to run around with its wings flapping around?
And 200 men behind it.
Mostly that.
Just kind of dragging on the ground.
Well, until they get to the borders of the country, when the prince is like, so lame that dad is making me take all these people. So he distributes all the crap in the carriages among the 200 people and says, "Peace out," sends him back home, and keeps only for himself as much food as his magical 4-winged horse could carry.
It seems like he doesn't have a lot of need for a boat with a winged horse.
I think he made a grave mistake sending them back.
You do?
Yeah.
You think he needs the backup?
Oh, no, he needed to kill them all.
Why?
One for practice and 2 for no witnesses.
For what he's about to do.
He has never done an adventure before, so he needs to adventure on 200 men.
Just gain a couple levels.
Yeah.
Killing your own servants.
Yeah, so warning to everybody out in the world. Tyler's embarking on a quest. Don't join him. Don't help him. Don't go anywhere near him. I have watched him play Red Dead and several other games.
You are all trash mobs to me.
Look, leveling, like, grinding is grinding.
So, once he gets rid of all these people, he rides to the east for 3 days and 3 nights until he reaches a plain filled with many human bones.
Is it Delta?
Yes. The heroes of the sky.
Delta, the plane company.
Yeah. With human bones.
Well... they are filled with human bones. There's still skin on them, I hope, but true.
He stops here to rest because, I mean, that seems like the right place to camp.
Very homey.
And the horse says, "Hey, Buddy,
just it sucks here.
Just so you know, we're on the land of a woodpecker fairy.
Yeah.
Who is so wicked that no one can enter her domain without being murdered.
Exhibit zillion.
Gestures with wings.
Gestures with wings and hooves in different directions.
She was once a woman, but she got cursed by her parents when she angered them by being disobedient and was turned into a woodpecker. And is now it's kind of like a hybrid, I guess. I don't know.
No, why are we doing this?
But tonight she's with her children.
Is this important?
Tonight she's hanging out with her kids.
Are they like a fourth woodpecker?
But tomorrow you'll meet her in yonder forest.
Oh,
where she was.
The lair of yonder toad.
Is that like yonder toad's Nottingham?
his bat cave.
And that's where she'll come to kill you. She is terribly big, unlike a woodpecker. But don't be frightened. Just hold your bow ready to pierce her with an arrow. That's our one weakness, is human weapons. All right, so the next morning...
I feel like that's one of my weaknesses as well. If I'm being honest, human weapons probably take me down.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shame in that. It's probably true for a lot of us.
I've never tested, but...
Probably a big rock, too.
Probably a big rock.
But I don't think we've come across anything that is safe from a big rock.
All right, so the next morning they hear a tremendous crashing and the horse says, "All right, buddy, get ready. Woodpecker fairy's coming." She's coming for you. So woodpecker fairy moves so fast that she tore the trees down. Seems like a bad situation for yonder forest. But the horse leaped upward like the wind, maybe using his wings, unclear.
Did he do a flip?
Yes, that nice. Is clear.
Yeah.
And the prince shot off one of her feet with an arrow.
Not a great shot.
He was about to shoot a second arrow when she says, "All right, cool it. Fine.
You got me.
Yep. Tag, I'm it. I'm not going to hurt you." And when she saw that he didn't believe her, she gave him the promise written in her own blood, probably. I mean, it's handy.
You prick one toe and you just draw it on there.
She just like do a signature in the air.
Yeah.
Just like flicking her stub around.
Yeah. So it's legally binding.
I mean, yeah. It's,
ask any lawyer.
Yeah, it's blood.
And she explains, "Your horse is enchanted. Don't know if you noticed. And can't be killed."
The horse in the background, wings spread, shouts, "Don't listen to her!
I'm a normal horse! Look at all my sores!"
Look, a normal horse with its no wings?
A horse is enchanted and can't be killed, and if it weren't for that, I would have definitely roasted and eaten you, but, I mean,
well,
what are you gonna do? Magic horse.
We knew that.
So until today, no mortal man has ventured to cross my boundaries this far. Come to my house. We'll have dinner.
Cheater, using your code horse.
Yeah. So she takes them to her house, and she entertains them. And while enjoying a banquet, she starts moaning with pain. So the prince pulls the foot out of the traveling bag where I guess he keeps his feet.
Yep.
His trophy feet.
Just prize feet.
And he fastens it back on and it heals instantly.
Mm-hmm.
The hostess, in her joy of being reunited with the foot that he shot off in the first place.
It was her favorite.
Kept an open house for 3 days and begged the emperor's son to choose one of her daughters, beautiful as fairies, to have as a wife.
Beautiful as fairies, a little bit woodpecker.
Just a touch around the edges.
Just a couple feathers on the belly. That's all.
It's not too bad if you have to get something.
Slightly longer nose, a little hardened on the tip. Barely noticeable.
Just a bunch of rough cartilage at the end. It's not the worst thing you could have.
Just a slight craving to pound a tree with their face.
It does also have a cloaca.
Enjoy that. Like, have fun figuring that one out. He says, "Nah, man, I am on a quest. I do not have time for wives, feathers, or otherwise." And she says, "All right, I believe in you. You'll be great. Get out of my house.
I love you, son."
So after the 3 days, he leaves, and after another long ride, he manages to leave the woodpecker fairy's kingdom entirely, and he reaches a beautiful meadow, one side of which is covered with blooming plants, and the other side of which it's scorched all to hell.
Mm.
Prince is like, why thing?
Horse, explain.
And the horse says, Orpian witch.
What are you going to do?
With The Rock in that one?
Dwayne The Rock, John Daughter.
Yeah. Or Brendan Fraser was in the first one.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne Johnson was the Scorpion King, titular film.
Right. Who would the Scorpion Witch be? Any thoughts? I don't have anything good. Lupita Nyong'o, maybe. That's the best I have off the top of my head.
All right. Well, Scorpion Witch is Woodpecker Fairy's sister. They're both so wicked they can't live together. They were both cursed, probably by the same parents. And their enmity goes beyond all bounds. They're always trying to get possession of each other's lands. And when the Scorpion Witch gets angry, she spits fire and pitch. She's worse than her sister, and also has three heads. Side note.
So three worse.
So the next morning, the Scorpion Witch approaches like the wind, with one jaw in the sky and another on the earth, spitting fire as she came.
No, what? No? How far apart are they?
I mean, she's got three heads.
Yeah, but one's on the ground.
Yeah, one's
in the sky.
I mean, sky is like inches off the ground, if you think about it.
I guess...
Sky is everything that ground isn't.
Also isn't now, water.
There should be an intermediary layer. Like,
what's it called?
It can't go immediately. If I can't jump and be like, I jumped scrounged into the sky. That's misleading.
I mean, but you do, though.
But do you? If someone said, watch me jump into the sky.
Sky is between ground and space, Gordy. How many gradations do you need?
There's so many extra gradations within it, though.
This third extra plane, is that where magic is?
What is the... what third? There's, like, the stratosphere. There's all kinds of stuff.
No, that's just sky. There's sky and ground, and you're suggesting a third
isn't
space.
In Gordy's ideal world, there are 26 or fewer animals.
Also, water is part of ground.
It's sky is just many classifications. You bring all the taxonomy that used to exist for animals, and you apply to sky.
Sky, it's like how people in Alaska have 33 words for snow.
Yeah.
We need a lot of words to describe how far off the ground you are.
Can one of them be Wimbus?
Yes. I would say Wimbus starts a good 10 feet off the ground.
So Wimbus is just like what would formerly be known as like walking around sky.
Yeah. It's
like Wimbus.
Yeah,
Wimbus is as tall as the tallest human. Or I guess the tallest animal.
Yeah, which is what, the Brontosaurus?
Yeah, that one that you can go see now.
What is it now?
I mean, Wimbus has been shrinking.
I think the African elephant is the largest land mammal.
Is it the tallest, or is a giraffe taller?
Giraffe is a little taller.
Does a giraffe's like horns pierce the Wimbus?
Do they have horns?
Yes, they
got
do.
Little stubby
little
horns.
Antler things.
Yeah, they're not sharp enough to pierce. I think they just like push on the Wimbus.
I would say they brush the top of the Wimbus. Yeah.
They gently stroke the Wimbus.
Is that going to become an ozone issue?
Maybe we should just say it starts just above the highest dunk that anybody can do. So it kind of changes dunk a little bit depending on like who's playing in the NBA at the moment. Who's got the most ups for dunking right now?
Currently?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't keep up with that.
Yao Ming. All right,
we gotta fucking get through this.
It's almost done. It was not an encouraging noise.
All right, so she's spitting fire. The horse darts upward, probably using those four wings, again unclear, and rushes over her, and the hero shoots her with an arrow, felling one of her heads. And she, like the other one, is like, oh, man, I'm sorry, I won't hurt you.
Did she need that?
The one head. I mean, yeah. She's good to go with the others, but she didn't like that head a lot. So she writes the promise in her own blood. She also entertains him in her house. He returns her head, kind of same deal. They head out again in 3 days. I don't think she has children to offer him, so that doesn't happen. And he comes eventually across a field in perpetual spring, covered in fragrant flowers.
Sounds awful.
Nolar says, all right, dude, one more trial. Not far from here is the palace where dwell youth without age and life without death.
I know you're new to this, but we do these in threes. It's part of the biz.
I did give you a contract and a pamphlet at the beginning of this relationship.
Welcome to Quest.
And it's surrounded by a high, dense forest where roam all the wild animals in the world. They just, like, go out on loan, I guess, to other places.
It's just a dense wimbus.
Which, yeah, I would say it's probably a pretty stinky wimbus.
I'm going to assume what this actually means is representatives of all the wild animals in the world, and not actually every animal.
It is all of them.
Just shoved it deep into this forest. Four boars deep in there.
Yeah.
So they guard it night and day. It's not really really possible to fight all of the wild animals in the world.
Yeah, it would be tough.
So we're going to have to jump over them.
Good call. Air Wimbus.
Air Wimbus. Can we make
the
it?
The dog who dunks.
Well, that's already kind of a thing.
It's the horse who dunks.
Sure.
Does Air Bud actually dunk?
Yeah.
In the movie?
Think so.
And now this horse is going to dunk a man into a palace. But first, I gotta rest for 2 days.
Sure.
Yeah, we just gotta drag this out.
The other ones were 3 days. What is the change? Why now suddenly breaking,
I don't know,
fucking tradition?
Maybe it took him a day to explain the wild animal situation.
Is this pre or post animal?
This is pre-animal.
Pre-animal, okay. Stinky wimbus ahead.
Mm-hmm. The horse holds his breath and says, buckle my girth as tight as you can, then hold fast to my mane and press close to my neck to get out of my way so I can do my best jumps. This is the time of day when the wild beasts are fed, so they're all collected together, sky piled on top of each other, waiting for kibble.
Fed by whom?
So now is a good time to
Carmen,
eat.
Fed by whom? You cannot run.
Look.
Not from this.
Things happen in a particular order. Just suffice it to say, all the animals in the world are collected in one spot, waiting for some good kibble. And it's a good time for jumping.
You could do just wreak chaos with the right bait. How are they not eating each other? Won't this problem kind of solve itself?
I guess there's a kibble situation.
All right, so they flew upward and they saw the palace glittering brighter than the sun. They passed over the forest, and as they were descending at the palace steps, one of the horse's hooves lightly touched the top of a tree. Which caused all the wild animals to start howling till it was enough to make one's hair bristle. He hastily alighted, and if the mistress of the palace had not been outside feeding her chickens, which is what she called all the wild beasts of the world.
I mean,
you gotta choose one.
I was gonna say, like, we also narrowed down animals. We're no stranger to this fucking activity.
She just took it. She doesn't care about the alphabet. She just took it all the way to the extreme.
Yeah, she did one better on us. They're all chickens.
That giant, bristling, large canid beast is a chicken. So they would have been killed if she hadn't been there. But she spared their lives out of pure pleasure, for she had never before seen a human being.
Just animals.
Chickens.
So I guess that answers one of my questions was going to be, is there like one dude in there?
Just buried?
Amongst the animals.
I mean, there could be, and she just hasn't caught a glimpse of him between all the bears.
He just lives off kibble drippings from the animals.
Whatever kibbles drip down to the bottom are his. Poor boy.
All right. So she restrained the savage beasts and sent them back into the woods. She was tall and slender and lovely and a fairy and was quite too beautiful all around. She asks what this dude is after, and he says, youth without age and life, whatever the hell the title of the story is. He wants that.
Gimme.
Nobody remembers.
So she takes him into the palace and introduces him to her older twin sisters.
Twins of each other, not her.
Yes.
Or everybody's
the
twins.
Two of them are twins to each other and older than she is, yes.
Are they witches?
They're fairies.
Are they twin Rova?
I have no idea what that is.
Zelda one.
Sweeble wobble weeble wobble.
They're a double witch, yeah.
So the ladies feed him and entreat him to stay, and he's like, yeah, I mean, this place is dope. And the horse said it's where the thing I want is.
And a horse hasn't been wrong yet.
So they become accustomed to living together. And after some time, he marries the youngest sister and gets permission to go wherever he wanted in the neighborhood, except for the Valley of Lamentation.
I forgot what this dude wants.
Youth and immortality.
Oh.
First stop, Valley of Lamentation.
Simba. All the light what? Touches is yours.
Fuck off, Zazu!
What about that shadowy place? That is the Valley of Lamentation. You must never go there.
Except to buy weed.
So he spent a long time there without realizing it. He was always young, and he never got a headache.
Well, okay, I'm interested now.
Fucking braggy much.
One day, while he was out hunting a hare from all of the wild beasts in the forest, I'm sure that makes him real popular there.
I mean, it would be more challenging.
To hunt a hare?
Amongst all animals.
Yeah, it's just real dense in there.
Now there's an idea. If you want to go hunting something, you got to have like whatever its apex predator in there with you.
Hey, EA, are you listening? Monster Hunter plus Katamari.
I just got an image of that in my head. That's really good, especially if all the animals look just a little bit surprised and disconcerted.
To be in a giant ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like round cartoon eyes looking slightly worried.
No, I changed my mind. Shadow of the Colossus plus Katamari.
Oh, boy.
You got to climb it and find the animal you're looking for and just stab down into it.
All right. So he's hunting a hare, and he shot two arrows without hitting it. So he gets mad because he doesn't like to lose, Prince.
Who does?
So he chases it angrily, and he manages to get it with a third arrow. But he hadn't noticed that he'd passed through the Valley of Lamentation to do so.
Oh no!
He picks up the
hare. To get the arrow?
To get the hare and kill it.
Just leave it.
He's already in there. He was mad chasing it and it ran to the Sad Valley.
Sad Valley. Sequel to Stardew Valley.
He picks up the hare and is suddenly seized with a longing for his parents. He tries to hide it when he goes home, but they knew immediately. You were in the valley. You got that valley stank on you.
You got valley all over your face.
He says, sorry, it was a total accident. I had to kill this bunny.
The bunny did it.
This is the thing in the never-ending story, right? But it's a swamp.
Except, yeah.
Yeah. And the horse gets sad for no reason?
I mean, did
it get sad for a reason. It's in a swamp.
Was he riding his horse hunting?
He wasn't hunting. He was trying to find a turtle to tell him where to do a thing.
No, but he was hunting a hare.
Oh, this guy is just hunting a hare, yeah.
Is he on his horse doing it?
No, horse is living it up with three fairy sisters.
Horse is enjoying having his wings brushed out.
Well, he can't. He
and
can't
being braided.
Ride him anymore? Is that the deal?
He could.
Yeah,
he just doesn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
The horse doesn't care about shooting hares.
He wants the thrill of chasing a hare on his stupid legs. Like a true man.
With a ranged weapon. So sorry, that was an accident, but I do need to see my parents and I'll come right back. I've spent several days with you already. We had a wedding.
It's been so long.
It's been half a week. We got married. I gotta go see my folks.
I've enjoyed the time here. I will come back. And they're like, dude, your parents died like 200 or 300 years ago.
What?
Oh no, it's weird time.
Oh no, it's weird time.
It's time that doesn't flow right.
I would like that inflection in a video game at some point.
What is this locale called?
This is the palace.
It's called Oops All Animals.
He's in the palace in the surrounding area.
Yeah.
And it's moving at the speed of light, apparently. Is he unstuck in time?
Yeah, he's unstuck in time. And if you leave, you're never going to return. And
you'll turn to ash as soon as you step outside.
Like, we got some quality, like, marriage boning to do. We could have a threesome, maybe. There's nothing else going on here.
No one else around except that horse. And he's game.
He'll videotape.
That horse is just down to fuck with whatever.
So the three ladies and the horse are unable to convince him not to do this. And the horse says, all right, fine.
Just imagine the horse trying to, like, coax them into it. Like, man, I got extra feathers if you need them, like, for whatever. You can just take them. I don't know what you want to do with them, but they're there.
Who got the belly feathers?
That was the
woodpecker fairy's daughters.
Oh, they're not. Okay. Yeah, can't take them off that. Along.
Could invite them, though. They have their hairdress.
I know where we can get some feathers.
Make this a party.
Yeah. What else are we doing? Feeding chickens?
Which you call all animals.
I would enjoy that as like a single panel comic of just like a mountain of different animals in the background and someone just kind of waving and being like, look, all chickens.
Oh, look, the tall chicken's out today. the tall, big, spotty chicken.
The big, tall chicken that brushes the bottom of the wimbus. Or top of the wimbus, I guess.
The wimbus chicken's here.
Well, the ones that touch the bottom of the wimbus are the small, slimy, cylindrical chickens. They come out in the rain.
And they just...
Just to feel the wimbus.
To get out into that sweet wimbus air. Why?
Romania, you never disappoint. You're not responsible for any of this. For some reason, we always end up here.
Whenever we are in Romania, we have to stop to smell the wimbus.
Sounds like a good vacation to me.
I mean, we got funds, we could go.
Head to Romania and inhale the sweet nimbus, the wimbus there.
I thought it would be cool to do like a folklore journey to like Hans Christian Andersen's house, the Grimm Brothers place.
Yeah.
Don Juan's hellscape. The Romanian wimbus.
Is the wimbus in all places,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, it's everywhere, but okay. The Romanian one's special.
So are we in the wimbus now?
Yes, we are in the wimbus.
We are wimbus.
Can anybody dunk this high?
Maybe. None here.
Oh, that's right. We might be out of the wimbus.
Yeah, we're on the second floor.
We could get a giraffe in here. Figure out where the giraffe comes up on the window. Anyway, the horse is like, all right. If you want to listen to me, whatever happens to you is your own damn fault. Just going to say that here. And now I want that in writing. This on you. If you accept my conditions, I will take you back.
Here, take one of my feathers as a pen.
One of my conditions, or my primary condition, is when you reach your dad's palace, you will dismount. And if you do, I will return alone if you stay even an hour. Or just in case you stay even an hour. So if you get off me at your dad's place, I'm leaving on my own.
So he has to stay on the horse?
Yes.
That's the condition?
That's the condition. Or he loses horse brotherhood. All right, so they go, and they reach the kingdom of the Scorpion Witch. But now there are cities and woods, and the woods are fields, and people had even heard of the Scorpion Witch. It was as tales told by their grandfathers from their great-great-grandfathers.
Yeah, those are just old flea tales.
Good, I forgot about the flea. Good old flea right. Stories.
How high does the flea jump?
I didn't say past the wimbus, I think, though.
Surely
how high
past
does the sycamore grow?
How high?
Yeah.
Out of the wimbus.
If you cut it down, you'll never know.
It's not public domain yet, Tyler. I know 2019 changed a lot of things. That's not one of them. So people thought that he was a lunatic or a person talking in his sleep. One of the two. Those are the only two options. When he told tales of a few days ago. Remember it like it was last week, because it was. And he rides on angrily without noticing that his hair and beard are growing white at a rather rapid pace.
Uh-oh.
That weird time.
He's doing a Tim Allen.
That second adolescence.
A Tim Allen?
Yeah.
When he turns into Santa?
Yeah.
So the woodpecker fairy's lands are the same. She and her feather daughters are gone, as is all evidence of their ever having been there. So he rides on with his beard now reaching his waist, and his feet beginning to tremble, and his head still firmly in royal denial of things he doesn't want to see or hear.
Cool, cool, cool.
He gets to his dad's palace. Everything has changed, comes to the palace, and he dismounts. The horse kisses his hand.
It is a bustling cybernetic city.
Yes.
Ooh.
The horse kisses his hand and says, I wish you good health.
Yeah.
I'm going to go now. If you want to come back, mount quickly and we'll be off. Go back to that sweet palace with your hot wife.
Where everything's good.
Yeah. You don't seem to acknowledge as your wife at all. And the prince says, bye horse. I hope to return soon. I don't know how he is expecting to get back. He lives in royalty land. And the horse is like, peace out, and darts away. Vanishes over the horizon to become a sore horse for another hero one day.
Is this Skyhorse?
Might be Skyhorse.
It's an old reference.
How many guns does it have?
Oh, that's the question, isn't it?
Does seem to be a good gun horse. It's got at least two front mounted. So the prince wandered around the...
It's got a cannon coming out of its brain.
Like a unicorn horn of death. The prince wandered around the building that used to be his palace, lost in memories and rheumatism. He finds a cellar and gropes around in it. This is my favorite cellar when I was a kid. I loved cellars so much. Best part of the palace. He has to hold his eyelids.
That's where I would go when I just needed to escape the Wimbus.
He holds his eyelids up with his hands. Ooh. And
is there a subwimbus that goes below the surface of the earth?
Yeah, if you've like dug down in a basement town, you're not in the Wimbus anymore. There's specific rules for Wimbus, and they start at ground and go to highest dunk. That is the Wimbus range.
Some podcasters research and write a whole script for their show.
What's that like?
I can't imagine it.
How often do you think they say the word Wimbus?
You don't get that on the lore podcast. I'll tell you that. I bet Aaron whatever has never said Wimbus once.
And if you start to, we're going to go break his legs.
Yeah, so he's holding his eyelids up with his hands and he's tottering along with his snowy beard to his knees, but he finds nothing in the cellar but a dilapidated old chest. He opens it and it seems empty, but a voice from within says, "Welcome. If you'd kept me raiding much longer, I too should have gone to decay."
What?
I don't like it.
Are we playing Dark Souls?
What do you think it is?
Boat?
The voice?
Yeah.
It's gotta be a boat, right? Big rock?
It's coming from where exactly?
Inside a chest?
Dilapidated old chest in the cellar in the bottom of his dad's old castle.
His twin brother.
Then his death, which had become completely shriveled in the chest, seized him.
Sans Undertale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the chest?
Yeah. The prince fell lifeless to the ground and instantly crumbled into dust.
That's a pretty good visual.
Into the saddle, then I sprung the tale to tell to old and young. Peace out, storyteller in my truck. Thank you, Romania. Thank you, Anne Kristen. All right. Let us discuss.
Wowzers.
So, okay. We were right. It was right that there was no boat.
Yeah.
How do we feel about big rock in this one?
It would need to be a very big rock, but it would solve the all animals forest.
You mean just smash a hole right through them?
It would have to just be an, like,
Indiana
a
Jones boulder just rolling through the forest.
I mean, real big, yeah. But technically, I guess a big rock does solve it, huh?
Now, you could also solve the problem of the prince going home by just pinning his clothing under a big rock. So he's like just stuck by his royalty garments.
I think the big rock is too strong.
You think it's overpowered?
This is too versatile. There's too many use cases for Big Rock.
Okay.
It's already presented itself as undefeatable.
Okay. I mean, we've tested it now twice.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking of all the permutations. And
sure.
Yeah. It could be used for killing. It could be used for pinning, for blocking.
Yeah. I mean, it's a versatile object.
It's a big rock.
What's wrong with that? So what are you saying?
You get one tool to solve all your problems.
I'm saying that, yes, this one could be solved by a big rock. In the yes-no question.
Okay.
Big rock.
Do we need to modify the parameters of this question?
No, I'm just setting expectations going forward that I think...
Oh, I
think big rock has a long run ahead of it.
I expect many of these will be won by big rock.
I think it's going to be tricky to find one that doesn't end with a big rock.
I mean, that will be exciting if we ever hit that day.
Certainly.
So stay tuned.
Thing. Big rock make it better.
Make what better?
The story.
If he launched it through a giant pile of animals? Yeah.
If he bowled.
It does if he bowls through a bunch of animals.
Let's set aside big rock and deal
you
with
can't.
The story.
It's too big.
Deal with the story.
That's
as
the
it's
point.
Presented.
Don't go.
All right, so this starts with two people want a kid. Yeah. Wise man says, "I can give you a flower for that. You ain't gonna keep it long, though."
Right.
That's any kid, though.
I mean, yes. 15 is about your limit on kid.
In myth times.
Well, like, even now. At 15, they transform from your kid to pimple anger monster.
Yeah.
And then eventually they might come back around, but they might not. You never know. That's a real toss-up.
Sure.
So if you get to 15 even, because often this starts at 13, then, hey, you got 2 extra years of kid you didn't expect. This emperor made out lucky. But, like, this prince claims that his entire reason for being born is to seek youth and immortality.
Right.
This is why he was put on the earth.
Yeah.
So, fuck all his responsibilities, prince.
He didn't ask for those.
It's true. They can't have another kid, wise man told him. Flower is a one-time deal.
This is it.
So, that kingdom fell apart. So, we have an abandoned kingdom.
To the birds.
That might be an emperor who's just, like, giving his kingdom away to someone who got him a cool jacket. What else am I going to do with this? Borrowed a daughter from somewhere with the rope and treaty combo that they had ready, because those courtiers and that emperor wanted to steal a woman so bad. From the instant this kid was born, they're like, this is our excuse.
Just give us a reason.
To steal a pretty woman. All we want to do. So they did that and they gave her away in exchange for a coat later. So that's what happened to that kingdom. This does happen 200 or 300 years ahead of end of story.
I mean, yeah, that's why I can't care about the fate of that kingdom. Because when we see it, it is probably 6 kingdoms over already.
My favorite thing about it, about the story, is Scorpion Witch and Woodpecker Fairy.
Yeah.
Right.
As, like, ancient beings.
Yeah.
That died off.
Yeah.
In the course of this.
They are only told of in legend now.
Like, yeah. Victims of weird time.
Weeble wobble, weeble wobble.
Double
mm-hmm.
legend. And their sisters and their parents cursed them for disobedience with supernatural powers and weird animal forms.
Cursed with being awesome.
But they hate each other.
Yeah, it's wicked better than being a kid.
This is a Beauty and the Beast situation again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, woodpecker...
Oh, dang, I'm so cursed with being fucking lightning fast and a woodpecker.
Do you think they hated each other before they were cursed?
Yes.
I think maybe they got along and were disobedient together and were cursed together. But woodpecker fairy sounds a hell of a lot more appetizing than scorpion witch with 2 heads who breathes pitch.
Yeah. I don't know. What are you trying to accomplish with your life?
I guess it depends if you were...
Scorpion Witch sounds awesome.
I mean, Scorpion Witch has the cooler metal album for sure.
Yeah. You got your learn to play anything.
But Scorpion Witch might be a little bit put out because Woodpecker Fairy has the prettier name and also is able to, like, live somewhat normal life. She has kids, so at some point something happened there.
It just depends on your aesthetic. Scorpion Witch has 2 other heads.
True.
Those 3 could be kids.
You're a band by yourself.
That's true. She is her own metal band, and I hope that that's, like, how she how she reached peace with herself.
We might have to put this out as a poll.
Yeah.
Scorpion Witch versus the other one that I
like that.
That I can't remember because it's too boring.
Because it's awful and bad.
Hummingbird. Hummingbird
fairy.
What?
Woodpecker fairy.
Yeah. Whatever. Some bird.
I think if they weren't expecting this trajectory in their lives,
no.
Woodpecker fairy has, like,
probably
the
not.
Easier initial adaptation to it, and that might have caused some friction in the beginning, but Scorpion Witch maybe came out ahead of the game with her metal album.
And her big, good stinger.
I mean, they don't say she has a stinger, she just breathes fire.
No, she does. I'm imagining it. She does.
This might be the first time we've encountered this phenomenon, but this story has presented us each with a kingdom of our own. Like, Gordy, you are clearly on Team Scorpion Witch.
Yeah.
That much is clear.
Between the two, yes.
And you are Woodpecker Fairy Town.
Yeah.
Carmen.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely go to the animal nonsense kingdom.
To the what?
The animal nonsense kingdom.
The Katamari sure. Animal kingdom.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that seems very fair to me.
All right. Well, we're good then. We're settled.
Yeah.
There are horses that appear with, like, sores and that look old and raggedy and are the best horse in several stories.
Mm-hmm.
This might be that relative of a bony horse.
Did it fail?
The horse?
Yeah.
Nah, he did his thing.
What was his thing?
He got the prince to the place.
But then the prince left.
It's not the horse's fault.
So horse is chalking it up as a win. I'm just wondering, what was the horse's, like, what was the end game?
That is the big question. And also, what is this palace? Who are these fairies?
Yeah, you have an answer.
I mean, the horse knows a lot, an awful lot about them. This is in pretty ancient times, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's in a lot of different times.
Yeah, but it right. starts in pretty ancient times.
Man, how long have they been there?
That's a very good question. See, my instinct is to kind of, like, cram this in a direction.
Sure, that's what we do best.
So this is not overly supported by the canon of the story, but we have had
a long discussion.
Canon is whatever you want.
About, like, origins mm-hmm. of the world of Doug.
Yeah.
In our Discord. And we have Baba Yaga, the guardian of the waters of life and death. A sort of a proto-goddess, grandmother of the world situation. And we have three...
Mother Wimbus.
Yeah, we have three other...
Mother Wimbus's children.
Mothers that we continue to see in stories who are pretty powerful. We've got the Mother of the Sun, the Mother of the Moon, and the Mother of the Four Winds, who's a bitchin' badass woman. Like, they're all portrayed as old in a lot of the stories that we see, but maybe they don't always have to be.
Most people don't start that way.
And this is the palace of youth without age and life without death, which seems like a palace that might be, you know, possessing of a certain fountain.
Sure.
That maybe creates all animals in maybe the forest surrounding it.
Just as entertainment backdrop.
So I propose that this is the bit of the Garden of Eden that Baba Yaga stole to keep this fountain from getting into the hands of the first fairy. These women are only described as fairies because that's the only word that people have for pretty woman with magic.
Opposite of a witch.
These were the mothers, maybe. Or they could have been invaders that Baba Yaga had to, like, go clear out. And then that's when the chicken hut happened. Because if she puts them in a shiny palace, gross fairies keep moving in and wanting a piece of it. But if she texts the waters in a darker place, it's less appealing. I don't know.
In a bipedal mech.
I don't know what these women are, where they figure in, but I think this palace has something to do with that fountain, and this and the forest full of animals has something to do with the original garden. Not the church, our world garden, but the garden where Bony boned down on a fairy.
If you're not sure, can we just toss it to the Discord?
We will toss this one to the Discord and to the Twitter. Give us your theories on who these women are and why they're here. But I do think that this is the relative to Bony's horse, because mm-hmm. there are two magical horses that show up together a lot, and they're yeah. brothers. Bony earned his horse from Baba Yaga. We have not read the story where that happens, but I've done some individual research.
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
That the two of them are connected in that way when Bony was a herdsman for her. So he has that horse, and then an old woman, and sometimes specifically Baba Yaga is the one who, like, makes a dude do some chores to earn the other horse.
The Sora's horse.
Ugly, raggedy mare or male horse, because there's some gender fluidity there, too. So, yeah, this is a Bony connection for sure.
Seconded.
Bony connection.
I talk for a long time. Someone else has to do it.
I don't think there's much more to talk about.
All right. Well,
I'm good.
Send us your theories on this palace and these three women. And let us know if you are Camp Scorpion Witch or Camp Woodpecker Fairy.
I am curious to see that breakdown.
Yeah. So thank you, Anne Kristen, for sending us to Romania.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pyrus, for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you,
Pyrus, for sponsoring.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping us fed. Buses.
We do like that.
And possibilities.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody who has been tweeting about the show and recommending us, Mr. Butlertron and Trisha Voda. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Merzy, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Monkey King, Tally, Liz, Grace, Ambassador of Bus. Ambassador is something you should look into.
Ambassador.
Ambassador of Bus, may the wheels never cease. MC Atnip, Jeremiah, help, I'm stuck in a Patreon profile edit page. It's not the best interface. Haley, the Council of Tims, welcomes Heather's cat as the Alpha Flight Memby? Member.
Memby.
Says Memby.
It's a very Tom Haverford kind of...
Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and a shrubbery. This list gets too much longer. I'm just doing your names again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Forest.
Thank you, Yonder Forest.
Thank you, Soar's Horse.
Thank you, Soar's Horse.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Chickens.
Thank you, Chickens.
Sure. Thanks, Chickens.
Thank you, Big Rock.
Thank you, Big Rock.
Thank you, Big Rock.
Thank you, Katamari Animals.
Thank you, Katamari Animals.
Thank you, Katamari Animals.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to WTFolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.